Last week, we'll recap from last week. Last week, we discussed the notion, was it last week? That David HaMelech was bragging about, that was last week, right?
Bragging.
He was bragging about what kind of a great guy he was.
I'm a chassid.
No, I'm a chassid, right? He came out and said, I'm a chassid. Lo chassid ani.
Okay.
That's what he said. He said, Le David Shamran Nafshi Ki Chassid ani. So he says, I'm so great. But on the other hand, the Gemara says, it mentions that it says at the end, like, is David really a chassid? Because in reality, he says at the end of Le David Hashem O Ribishi, which we read every week, he says, Lulei Hamanti, here it says, was he really a chassid? It says, Vakthiv, Lulei Hamanti, Lirot, Betuv Hashem, Eretz Chayim. How could it be that David considered himself a chassid? But on the other hand, you know, he says, I only wish that I was an Eretz Chayim. The Gemara answers that he was afraid, Shema Garam Hachet. Maybe he would sin. He was a chassid, maybe he would sin. So we did in the Ein Yaakov, which I personally found very, very compelling, was this notion that he developed this idea that it's important that when a person does a sin, he developed the idea that the first perek of David Shamar Nafshi Ki Chassid Ani was said after the sin of David and Bathsheba. And that after this terrible sin, David did tshuva, as we all know, like their baby died, and he did tshuva, and he was on the ground until the baby died, etc., etc. But then he said to David, Shamar Nafshi Ki Chassid Ani, that I'm a chassid on the one end. That what the Ein Yaakov said was that a person's sin, even if it's a terrible, grievous act, it doesn't negate the things that you do normally, your normal behavior. So David was saying to God, despite the fact that I did this terrible sin, nonetheless, don't look at the one egregious thing that I did, but instead, look at the things that I'm doing day in and day out. Look at the way that I am. Am I not a chassid in that way? And the message he was telling us is, and I was so excited, was I found it very compelling, because actually I think women are better at this, that they take their worst qualities and they use it to define themselves. But sometimes men are good at that too. That we look and say, you know, like, oh my God, like if I look at the last year, let's pick the worst thing that I did during the last year. It's interesting. I was talking to a very good friend of mine who's a shul rabbi, so every year he sends me his sermons to look over for him. And he was talking about this, precisely this point. He was actually talking about it from the perspective of guilt. But he said, like, during the year, like, recently somebody said something to him and he said something so nasty and he said it was eating him up. Like, how could I have said that? How could I speak to somebody that way? You know what I'm saying? And it's very natural for us to do that. Like, you know, we fall into this trap of defining ourselves by a certain behavior that's out of character. And even though it's wrong and you have to do tshuva, what David said, what the message was, no, I'm still a chassid.
Do you know what they call that in Israel?
What's that?
Shopping.
Well, I don't understand what you mean. I'm like that.
Saying terrible things to people, yelling at people.
Oh, the shopping. Yeah.
There is
stop talking bad about Eretz Yisrael.
They still have an international booklet how to behave in different countries. And it's, I think it said in Israel, if you go to Israel and you're sitting in a meeting, they're all screaming and arguing.
That's normal.
Don't worry, they'll all come outside and kiss and hug each other.
The problem is that for non-Israelis, you can't do it. Like, there was a period of time where I thought I could, like, you're supposed to, like, try to be Israeli. Then they just look at you like, why are you yelling at me? You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's something missing in the culture. Like, what, you're all yelling at each other. Nachon. But why are you yelling at us?
I'm allowed. Yeah.
There's something in the tone. Anyway, that's what we did the last time. And we also spoke about the idea of worry. We did the Orchot Tzadikim, the idea of worry. And he developed a dichotomy between two types of worry. He says, worry is a terrible thing when you're worried about what's going to happen in this world. When you're worried about your Gashmiut. You shouldn't worry about Parnassa. You shouldn't worry about, you know, the state of Israel's survival. That's up to Hashem. What are you worried about? So what you should worry about is your Olam Haba. That's something to worry about because that's something you could do something about. Two different kinds of worry. Okay.
And that's what Shemad HaMelech was worried about.
That's what he was worried about. Shema Gara Machet. His worry was only the worry about his future. Was it not his immediate, like, you know, what's going to be in this world. And actually, it's good that you asked me to review because that's going to dovetail really beautifully into what we're going to do this week.
But you didn't answer me about Moshe Rabbeinu.
What about Moshe Rabbeinu?
That Moshe Rabbeinu also sinned, and his plea and his worry was about going to Eretz Yisrael with the Olam Haba. He didn't seem to have any qualms that he was going to
Moshe Rabbeinu's, first of all, Moshe's sin was not, was hard to argue that it's so egregious, isn't it?
Pretty big punishment for something that wasn't so.
Like I said, I think the reason I didn't answer your question because I didn't find it troubling. And I don't mean that in a degrading kind of way. I don't think his sin was so great that he was so worried about his place in Olam Haba. I think what he felt, Lahavdil, was, why am I being punished so terribly for such a minor sin? I mean, I want to do tshuva for this. I'm not worried about the broader picture. Actually, between you and me, if I had to guess, I would bet Moshe Rabbeinu was always worried about his Olam Haba. Probably because he's Moshe Rabbeinu and we're not. Like, we look at Moshe Rabbeinu and say, oh, what are you worried about? You know, that's what they say. They say the greater you are, the more you really understand, the more you have to worry about. So, you know, like everybody on his own level. Okay.
Innocence is bliss.
What's that?
Innocence is bliss.
Ain't it? You know? So nice to see the people, you know, the kids, everything is wonderful, like, you know, but you wouldn't go back. You don't want that kind of innocence. Okay. So we're gonna do a very, very famous Gemara that has actually a lot to do with the way we daven every day. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, I'm on page 29 everywhere. Just in your sheets. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Rabbi Avina. Kol ha'omer tehila le'David shalosh pa'amin bayom. Muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. Anyone who says the perek of tehila le'David, tehilim kuf mem hei, which we commonly know as
Ashrei,
right? Three times a day, he is promised that he's a ben olam haba. So the Gemara says, my time, but by the way, you notice, what do we do in our davening?
We don't.
Somehow, Chachamim found a way to, in the Nidusach of davening, to add three times a day. But if you were reading this objectively, when would you say three ashrays? What does it sound like, three times a day?
Shacharim and Chumash.
Right. Doesn't it? Don't you get the sense that okay, Shacharim and Ashrei.
Normally when they say
Mincha Ashrei. Ma'ariv. You wouldn't think it would be so crazy to start with Ashrei and then you go to like the Bracha.
Unless it's a Rishut.
It is a Rishut.
Yeah, but you have to do Chovah three times a day.
Oh. Right. There's a big machloket. It's Arvit Rishut Chovah. So you're saying, but look at Rashi for a second.
Wait. I don't buy that. Because there is a question in that, but the Shema.
What's
we,
that?
We have a chiyuv to do Shema.
At night.
So, you could understand it would be another chiyuv to do another tefillah in the night.
There's a big machloket.
If you're reading in Kriyat Shema.
Johnny, there's a machloket in the Gemara. Is Arvit Rishut
Ochovah? I understand.
Remember Daf Yomi?
Yes, okay.
Recently. Wasn't that long ago, right?
Even if you say Marv is Rishut.
Yeah.
You cannot say that Kriyat Shema in the evening is
Rishut.
Right,
but they're not connected. You have to say Kriyat Shema Ubir Choteha.
I'm saying,
unrelated to whether there's a mitzvah.
You say three times.
Yeah.
You think there's a chovah in the evening.
Why?
Because it's three times a day.
What's three? See, that's the question. Why does he say three? This is a very interesting question. What's the basis of three? Three for what? So we say Shachar, Mincha, and Maariv, but if you say Arvid is a Rishut, so then you only have two prayer, two tefillot. So why would you do the third one?
No,
and it's interesting. And it's interesting the way we do it. We don't have one in Maariv. We have Shacharis. Then another Shacharis, and then Mincha. Why don't we do it that way? Now, if you look at Rashi, what does Rashi say? Shalosh pa'amim, Rashi says, Keneged shalosh tefillot. You have it on your sheet here, if you feel so motivated, right? So corresponding, so it would seem that in Rashi's day, when do they say three ashrays? I don't know, it's hard to say, and it's hard to imagine, but it wouldn't be so crazy to think that they said ashrays before Maariv. Because if you believe that, but we don't, so why do we say three ashrays? Why three? What's it connected to? What's it corresponding to?
Some degree of completeness. The number three in typical, like for instance, if you take a look in Pirkei Avot, and Maharal goes into this a lot, but he always uses the number three as having some degree of completeness.
The Avot, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the triangle, the triad.
There's always three. Always has two opposites and a completing thing in the number.
Okay, good. Why am I? What am I completing by saying Ashrei three times a day?
I'm sure the in Yaakov will say something.
Not about this point. He'll say a lot of. He has a lot to say. Believe me, there's an extensive piece. But I promise you, Maharal. So we're going to do Maharal first.
No, okay.
Kevin is like a Maharal guy. Anyway, okay. So if you look at the top, if you look, in the Ein Yaakov, right? One of the well known commentaries about on the Agadata is the Maharsha, Marino Rav Shlomo. Eliezer. Okay. Marana Shmuel Eleazar ben Yehuda Halevi Idlish, the Marsha. So he wrote a commentary called, if you look in the regular Gemara, Marsha wrote a commentary on the Balei Tosfot, mainly on the Rishonim. But he, so it says, it's, that's called Chidushe Halachot. But then you'll see in the Marsha, smaller letters, and it'll say Chet Aleph, which refers to Chidushe Agadah. So they copied in my version of the Ein Yaakov, this wonderful new version, what the Marsha says. So look what he says. Tehillah leDavid b'chol yom. See what it says, a little Chet thing? Three times a day. Pirush Rashi. Keneged shalosh tfilot ad kan lashona. Very short Rashi. Va'anu omrim oto shtei pa'amim b'shachrit u'pam achat b'mincha. Velo ba'arvit. He says, we don't say it. We say it twice in Shachrit, and we don't say it Arvit. So it's clear, by the way, that he thinks that Rashi said, Ashrei ad Ma'ariv, which is very interesting. Okay, why? V'yesh la'tei ta'am baze. We'll give you a reason. V'afshar shesamchu oto l'seder kedusha. Remember, how many kedushas do we say during the day?
Two.
Nope. How many times do we say kedusha in the day? Actually, if you really want to be a stickler, how many do we say?
Four.
Four.
Yes.
Right.
How do you say four?
Right, because the first time in Shachrit, I think the first one is not a real one. It's only Ki'ilu, the first one. It's like you're imitating the Malachim. It's like part of the Bracha Kriyat Shema. Right. The second one you say Kedusha is a Kedusha. Oh. And Uvalitzion is also considered halachically significant. Right, if you ever read like the Mishnah Berurah on it, they say don't mess around with Uvalitzion. You should really make it your business to be up to speed at that time. And you should say the Kedusha Rabbah with the Kahal. And when do we say the Ashrei? Right before the second Uvalitzion.
It doesn't work for me so well. Because there are times we do Uvalitzion, other times as well.
When?
Mincha.
So very good. And what do we do before then?
We do Ashrei, but we also do Kedusha in Mincha.
Ah.
Okay, and we also do Musaf on Shabbos.
See, if you were to ask me, right, if you were to ask me...
But we don't do Uvalitzion in Shacharit. On Shabbos, so I could say the Musaf Kedusha switches, but then that doesn't work. And then on Motzei Shabbat, we also do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's finish the Marsha. I understand what you're saying.
Sorry.
What?
Some trouble.
Do I look phased?
No. Nope. Right. Never phased.
You'll find out that when this is nothing. We went through weeks of Derech Hashem where Johnny was going to kill me. So this is easy. Okay, he says, Amai Kaim Alma. The Gemara in Sota says, what is the world standing on? Asidra de Kedusha ve'amen Yeheshmei Rabba. Remember Yeheshmei Rabba? Remember Yeheshmei Rabba? We learned a beautiful idea in Yeheshmei Rabba as well. Okay? The Agada that appears Rashi Sham Rashi says Sidra de Kedusha Shelo Tiknuha Ela Shu Kol Yisrael Oskim BaTorah. Right, the first day was so the Jewish people would immerse in Torah. Ayin Sham BaOrech. Hainu, that's the reason. The B'Shachrit Ika Bet Pa'amim Sidra de Kedusha. Right, we say Kedusha twice. UBeMincha Pa'amachat B'Chol Yom. And Mincha we say one time. Masheen Kein BaArvi Deledle Sidra Kedusha Klal. The ikar limut Torah b'yamama, because the main learning is during the day. Kedaminan, etc., etc., etc. We'll stop at this point. But what I wanted to point out was, he says three times. One, I imagine, like it's interesting, it could very well be that Rashi's time, or before, there were communities that said Ashrei before Amariv, and there were communities probably that didn't gather for Amariv.
Yeah, the fact that he's even bringing it up means that there was an opportunity, maybe, therefore, when it was in Maariv.
Clearly, the format of davening is very much more fluid than we really know. You know what I'm saying? There was a period of everybody davened Shacharis, whatever the form was, you davened Shacharis. But let's say they davened Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, and they had Ashrei before. But what happened was, probably because it was dangerous in many communities, they condensed Mincha and Maariv into one. Sort of the way we do it today, we don't really. So when they condensed Mincha and Maariv into one, what they very much often did, to my understanding, is they condensed it literally into one, almost to the point where they didn't say Aleinu in between. So how do you say another Ashrei? You're going to start over, you're going to say another Ashrei? So it could very well be, and this is total conjecture, that okay, so you're dumping an Ashrei. But I can't dump an Ashrei. Why can't I dump an Ashrei? Because I've got a Gemara that says I've got to say three. So what do I do with that? Well, stick it in Shacharis. So once I stick it in Shacharis, what do I do with it? Well, maybe the reason I'm doing it is I'm going to say it's because of the Kedusha.
You know what I'm saying? Ashrei seems to be the breaking point even in Shacharit.
Why? Does it make sense to say Ashrei twice in Shacharit?
No, but it does seem to be the...
You know, I feel like sometimes when we, you know, especially Nusach Sfarad, let's say you're laning on Sunday. So what do? And then we put back the Torah like right before Shir Shalyom. So what do you say? You say the David means more Lashem Ratzim Lora. You put back the Torah, and then what do you say? Uvru Chayomar. And the guy says Kaddish, and what's the Shir Shalyom of Sunday? The same one, exactly the same thing. And I feel like, I just said this literally 30 seconds ago. Why am I saying this again? You know what I'm saying? What, does it really make sense? You just said Ashrei. You just said it. Would it make sense in the same tefillah to say the same thing twice? Would you ever do that? Yes. Is there anything else you say twice in the same tefillah?
Aleinu. Then you go straight outside. You do Kiddush Levana. You say Aleinu.
Kiddush Levana is a separate tefillah. Halacha.
30-second gap between the Aleinus.
It's rounded off.
What about Aleinu? Every day we also repeat Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach.
Oh, he knows that's right. I don't say that stuff.
That proves this was smartest.
Three times, what? Three times, he's saying? When do you say it again?
You say twice in a row.
All right, to say something a few times in a row, that's especially this aspired. We Ashkenazim, you know, we don't, three times in a row. Can you think of another example of tefillah where you say it twice in the same tefillah? Unless it just happens.
Yes.
Seven times you say that alam natsiach before tikkat shofar.
You're missing my point again.
Sorry.
Okay, you could say...
That's specifically said to say seven times.
There are times, but it doesn't help, because the times you're doing it is for the kehillah.
Right.
So you're doing repetition of the...
Doesn't count, right? The repetition of the mirror doesn't count.
Why?
Because...
it's not because it's
something... Correct. It's not the same people saying the same thing twice. Well, so,
everything
goes. Right. So Kaddish, the thing that you take...
Kaddish.
What?
Kaddish.
Because there's only one of those.
Yeah. So...
the same person.
Every 2 seconds, say this.
That's only because we're so transfixed with being Eloi Neshama, etc., etc. So the Kaddish is a break, in essence. I think that if we went back 400 years, or went back to Rashi and tried to figure out what I'm saying? You know what Rashi did for Kabbalat Shabbat? You know what he said for Kabbalat Shabbat? Anybody know? You know what he said? Nothing. There was no Kabbalat Shabbat. It came in the 1600s. It came afterwards in the Kubalim. They didn't say, you know what I'm, right?
It just came in.
Yeah. Marv. You know what I'm saying? So one imagines if it's probably a fascinating study to figure out. And there's a rabbi I know. His name is Barry Frendel. There's a rabbi named Barry Frendel. He did a study about this, like about how fluid, how much davening has changed over the years. You think that because you grew up in a certain way that they were always doing that way. A, they weren't. And B, you live in such a small slice of Jewish history that, like, you know, maybe they were doing it for 30 years or 50 years or 100 years. But that's nothing. Nothing. God only knows what they were saying in, you know, it would be fascinating to see, to do a study of when did they say two Ashreis in davening? And probably not. What?
Incredible. Think that you forget that things came in and developed as communities moved.
Well, even the things that you take for granted, the Gemara says, like, there's a machloket among the Amoraim that you just did in the Daf Yomi. Are you stomach gula le tefillah in the morning and then at night? You know what I'm saying? What is tefillah be'emsa or tefillah on the outside or tefillah on the inside? You know what I'm saying? Which means there was no unified davening. Did you get up to the Gemara?
Even sounds like some.
Remember the Gemara about the
Avinu?
Sure. Remember the Gemara about like, why can't I say Avinu? Like, remember the Gemara about the Tanaim who had to give Shir, so they say Kriyat Shema under their breath. You were calling that?
They actually seem to do it twice.
Right.
That's crazy.
They started. Can you imagine? Like, wait, why didn't you go to Minyan? You know what the answer is? Like, why didn't he go to Minyan? They had Shir, so he said, he davened Kriyat Shema under his breath, because something was fundamentally different about the way they davened in the time of the Gemara. Fundamentally different. One gets that sense even from that says, Kol HaSomech Geula L'Tfila. Right, what does it say about Kol HaSomech Geula L'Tfila? Somech Geula L'Tfila. Again, like something about Olam HaBa, like really good to be Somech Geula L'Tfila. And you think to yourself, doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me. Like, open the Siddur. Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael, Hashem Svatay Kivta.
That's because they used to do, because
Kriyat Shema is on sunrise.
That's because they used to daven in Shema. And then they would go do whatever they do.
Well, and also because Tefillah wasn't that time.
That's right.
And in order to do it, they delayed it.
What that means is that the whole Seder HaTefillah that we take for granted, that's written out for us, was not so obvious for very long chunks of time.
It's more crazy than that. That if you're working on a tree, you're not allowed to come down for 30 seconds to say Kriyat Shema because you're taking your time from the owner of the tree.
Right.
From your employer.
Correct.
Imagine us doing that. Not talking in the corridor. Only a cup of coffee.
I worked at this place called System Automation. When I was in high school, I got a computer. I had a job at this computer firm. And there was one guy from Baltimore, very religious guy, you know, who wouldn't talk during work hours. He wouldn't discuss mundane personal matters during work hours. And everybody thought he was a little unusual. You know what I'm saying? A little strange. Because he felt exactly this. He's on the payroll. He's paid to work. He's going to work. He's absolutely correct. But he never got a raise. You know what I'm saying? On the other hand, in my office there was a woman once, I remember it like it was yesterday, who I came in at like 8:30. She shows up at 8:45. It wasn't her office. She sat there until 12 o'clock schmoozing with the lady next to her and then said, "I'm hungry. Let's go to lunch."
And then she became CEO.
No, not that lady. Her boss actually once asked me what she did. And I was in high school. It was pretty funny. Anyway, so that's the Gemara. Okay. So, again, we have this Gemara that says, if you say this Tehillah v'David, whatever it is, this parasha of Tehillah v'David, Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, Muvtach lo shehu ben olam haba. It's very strong language. You are promised that you are a person who's a ben olam haba. So Gemara says, what is so significant about this perek? So Gemara says, Ilei mamishum de'atya be'alpha beta. So what's so great about, what's unique about Tehillah v'David? Right, so it's an order of the alphabet. Okay? So maybe it's so special because of the order of the alphabet. The Gemara says, then, Lema Ashrei Tamimei Derech. Anybody know what Shemun that is? Ashrei Tamimei Derech?
Say it 8 times.
That's right! If alphabet is so great, each one, it's the, what number is it? I don't remember.
Kuf
something. Thank you. That's the exact number. Right, you know, it's like the one that you say, like when you have. Give or take 50, right? It's, you know, it's the one that you say when you have, when you go to like the, when you go to the cemetery, so you'll spell out the letters, that's when you're very happy when the guy's name was like Baruch Ben Lev, as opposed to like Simcha Zissel Nassan Abraham, and you sit there forever. Nun again, you know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm sorry. Anyway, so if it was so great to say the olive bed, then you would say, Ashrei Tamim, what? Did you find it? What? Ashrei Tamim Ederech. Atia Bitzmanya Ape, 8 times. Ela Mishum Dichtide, but this is Gemara says, no, Poteach et Yadecha, Umasbia Lechol Chayrata. What's unbelievable about this is you say, Poteach et Yadecha. So if that's so great, right, if that's so important, Lema Halel Hagadol. You then say Halal HaGadol. Which is Halal HaGadol? Anybody know? What's the Tehillim called Halal HaGadol? It's important to know this, actually. You don't know? Hodu Lashem Kitov, Kilo Lam Chasto. Right? Hodu Elohim, Kilo Lam Chasto. Hodu Lenonim, Kilo Lam Chasto. That's called Halal HaGadol. You'll notice, when do we say it? During the Seder. We say Shabbos and we say it during the Seder night. Right? That's part of, in Halal, you say that Perek of Tehillim. That's Halal HaGadol. Just know, it's a very significant piece of Tehillim. I'm always, no matter how late I get on whatever I'm doing on Shabbat morning, I make a strong effort not to skip that.
It's also relevant to say that.
What?
It's
very relevant, of course, right. No, you know, Zechon Iflo Gidolo Lovado. But there's an idea of saying, Kido Olam Chasto, right, it's a beautiful idea. That's in Halal HaGadol, Dichtiv Bey, it says, Notein Lechem Lechol Basar, Kido Olam Chasto. So what's the image? Boteachat Yadecha, Masbiel Lechol Chavetzon, so what's so great about Ashrei? So the Gemara says, Ela Mishum Di'it Be Tarte. Because it has both. It's got both Aleph Bet and Poteach Et Yadecha Masbi'a Lecha. Rob, why are you... On the tape you can't hear it, but it's... What are you thinking?
I'm still not convinced.
Right? Flesh it out. As soon as you're done? What's the problem? Really, what's the problem?
None of them, either of those two things have anything to do with each other.
Well, none of them have anything to do with each other. And even more importantly, right, if you say this parak three times a day, you know, you're a muftach lo shu ben olam haba. If you had to do anything, you know what I'm saying, to guarantee a spot in the world to come.
Do some chesed.
What? No.
No.
Is a gold? Is your golden ticket? You don't have to do anything, right? Exactly.
Forget sending away the bird. You know, the bird.
That's gone life in this world. I want my world to come.
Birds together, you're done.
You know what I'm saying? Don't daf yomi. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Somebody told me. Do you see this? Do you know there's a shir in Gemara in Yad Binyamin at 4 a.m. There's a daily 4 a.m. shir.
Shouldn't be allowed.
That isn't. Do they have one of those in Modi'in? They have a shir in Modi'in at 4 a.m.?
No one knows 4 a.m. exists.
Exactly. You know, like, that's impressive. Forget that. Forget that. Don't waste your time.
What does it mean for everything else? How does the hierarchy of other tefillah...
Hey, why bother Shmonetze?
Why bother?
Right. Say Ashrei three times. And then the Gemara says, why? Because it says, Potech et yedecha maskiel lechal haratzah. No, no, that's not enough. And... Aleph Bet. Oh, because it's got both. So the thing that not just some, every single parshan is going to have to deal with is what in the world is going on. What, you know, really? That's so significant about Ashrei? Right? Is it really that easy that you could just say, you know, three times Ashrei a day and you're all there?
Is there really nothing else that contains that?
There is no... It's a very unusual... This is a very unusual formulation. You don't see him saying... You don't see anybody saying something about you daven three times a day. Do you see there was a Gemara say if you daven three times a day,
no,
you get all about?
You think that somebody else would have written a tefillah
about something, right?
In our, you know, with the alphabet and with petecha tedech or something, some line in there,
right?
If it's already a good formula,
you would think, but it's not. So that's the problem. That's problem number one. Problem number one is it's a very unusual Gemara. What's so special about Ashrei? Are we supposed to understand this literally, or is it meaning something deeper? That's number one. So let's read on in the Gemara. Number two, page 30. 31. Okay? So it has both. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. What else do you notice about Ashrei that's unusual? Obviously, no nun. Okay? So once we're talking about Ashrei, we have to understand. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Midelan no nemra nun be Ashrei. So a really good question. If you're going by alphabet, you would think not to skip one. Mibnei sheyesh ba mapalatan shel sonei Yisrael. Sonei Yisrael obviously is a euphemism. The enemies of Israel is a euphemism for Israel. Because it includes the downfall of Israel. Shene'emar, as it says, there's a pasuk in Amos, nafla lo tosif kum betulat Yisrael. Okay? Nafla, you have fallen, lo tosif kum betulat Yisrael. The virgin of Israel shall no longer rise. Okay? Bima'araba metarzi la hachi. In the west. What's the west?
Israel.
And Eretz Israel. They read it a different way. Nasfla, you have fallen down. Velo tosif lin pol od. And you shall no longer fall again. Kum betulat Israel. You just know. Just the difference between the Babylonian version of reading the pasuk. Oh! We're done. And the Israelis who said, you Babylonians, you gullus Jews, all you see is the negative. Nafla, we have fallen, but we're not going to fall again. Kum betulat Yisrael. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, why doesn't it say the nun? Because it's nun, no fail.
We can't find another letter.
Duh, right, you know, like, no tzer chesed.
What is it? Is it
in gauze
that you're not allowed
to do? No tzer lechem. I just thought of one. Yeah, how about that one?
Which of the nuts is the same gematria as chet, so you're not allowed to have it?
A ghost, right, olive goat, right, a ghost.
Really? That's the only piece of food that is the gematria of chet?
Yep.
Really?
What? Nonetheless, says afilu. So obviously, all the mafarshim are going to have to deal with that question as well. Okay, you keep looking; it's not getting any better. Anyway, afilu hachi chazar David v'smachav ruach hakodesh. David rose them up with ruach hakodesh, as it says. Somech Hashem l'kol anoflim. Meaning, somehow, the Gemara understood that it had to be no fail. Why? Because what's the next pasuk? Somech Hashem l'kol anoflim. Meaning there's an allusion to Nefila, but it's skipped. That's why. It makes sense, by the way. Right? Because the whole point is that we skipped it out, and then the next word, he mentions the Nun in the Samech.
Verses were connected.
What?
Assuming everything else is connected.
But here it specifically refers to, do you have...
Right?
No, I don't agree.
No,
I don't agree.
That's an obstacle.
I don't agree. Because if you look at the Ashrei, right? If you look at the Ashrei, Gadol Hashem Olam Ma'avilu Demechekeh, Dol Adei Shalach Masecha, there's no Gimel in Dalid. There's no Dalid in Hey. Hadag Vodadecha Divin... Okay, there was a Dal in Hey. There's no Hey in Vav. Zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu, Vav, that doesn't count. I'm not helping myself here. V'tikatcha, you understand my point.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Somech Hashem l'kol ha'noflim. Right? The idea of Nefilah is alluded to in, and also, one second, I need an ashray in front of me. Put out an ashray. Is there an allusion to negativity in other areas? Meaning, is there an allusion to negativity in any of the other psukim? Is there an allusion to negativity? Right, we know it by heart, right? Thank you. And you know what I'm saying? There is no allusion to negativity. Is there?
It's a good point.
Let me stop and say, by the way, that just the very fact that we're doing this, it reminds us that the way we recite Psukei Dezimra is frightening.
We can't recall it.
No, we can recall. We know by heart.
No, I'm saying, but any.
We fly. I hate to break it to you, but all of the Mefarshim are going to say, to some degree or another, that the point of this isn't just that you say Ashrei. That you internalize the message of Ashrei.
But then,
and you can't do that when you daven it up.
The way they daven, in the olden days was very different.
Yeah.
And therefore, they probably didn't do the whole of Pesukatism.
Correct.
Ashrei was important because they didn't do so many things.
Correct. Are you saying that we should do less and do it more meaningfully than fly through material and do it on a very simple level?
I'd love to say that, but that's not my. I can't say that.
I can say it. I'll say it.
You're a rabbi. You're a Talmud. You can say it.
I appreciate that vote of confidence. I will absolutely say it. I'll absolutely say it.
Okay.
It's 100 times more valuable. Well, if you could say, if a person could legitimately recite Baruch Shamar and have concentration and Ashrei and ponder, really, let's assume that the Gemara is correct on face value. Why is it important? Because it's in Aleph Bet. I don't know why, we'll see in a minute. And potech et yadecha umasbiya lechol chai ratzon. Just think about that pasuk.
Mincha is a quarter of the time, and Maariv is a quarter of the time, Shachrit. And do we have any more kavana? So the rabbis
figured that. You fly through everything.
So why not just leave it in?
That's what to do the davening.
The Gemara itself, the Chachamim clearly struggle with this problem. You see throughout the Gemara in Brachot, which is my favorite Masechet that I know, okay? You see throughout Masechet Brachot, Chazal struggling with this idea. When we institutionalize, when we give you the words to say, we know exactly what's going to happen. You're going to say them, and you're going to say them by rote. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's exactly what happened. That's why you have statements. That's why you have statements from the Gemara that say, "Kol haomer," anyone who davens, but doesn't make it below, it says tefila tachanunim, right? If there's no tachanun in your tefila, if there's nothing in there, what have you done? You've done nothing.
I think there are three levels on that.
What? There's nothing. There's medium and large.
They're saying it.
Okay.
They're saying it and understanding, and they're saying it and really understanding.
And meaning it.
And getting it.
So, one gets the sense, you really think you're going to get Olam Haba at the very minimum from saying the Ashrei. You know, really? That's what you're going to do? That's going to get you Olam Haba? Okay, maybe. I don't think so. Okay, at least potech et yadecha umasviya l'chocha ratzon. Right, what do we do when we say potech et yadecha umasviya l'chocha ratzon? No, really, that's what you do. Right, why potech et yadecha umasviya l'chocha ratzon? Why do we do that? Maybe because the article told you to. Maybe
no,
you get, maybe.
Is it in the parasha? Is it in the parasha?
You're joking, right? No, it ain't in the parasha. Erase that from the tape. Okay, right.
It's in there.
Oh, you look through.
Yedecha,
yeah.
Yedecha. Was belachal chai ratzon. Where's it coming from?
Okay, exactly. But to get us to stop for a moment and concentrate on the words that you're saying. And what do? You know what I'm saying? It's obvious a lot, but it's got to mean something. If you look through Asher, if you look through the words, right?
Am I meant to feel bad when I eat that?
No. Are you meant to feel bad? Is that the
I'm feeling pretty guilty right
now. Well, it is a little. Okay, anyway.
True.
Okay. All of these things, if you think about it. We don't do that yet.
Next week.
Okay. Good, right? B'chol yom avrachecha ba'alashim chalam ve'en praise. Gadol Hashem ulam yod, lidol oto in cheker. God is great. Praise. Dolo do yishabach masecha, gvurach yagidu. Praise. Hadar kevod hodecha. Again, still. Different. I'm just going to say praise. Praise, praise, praise. Ve'ezuz naratecha yomeru. Ugdulat chas tefrena. Praise. Have I said anything yet, by the way? Have I said anything about God? Not really. Okay, now we start. Chanun v'rachum Hashem, erech hapayim v'idol chased. He is compassionate, giving. Tov Hashem lakov, rachamav v'kol ma'asav. Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha v'chasidech. We go back to praise. Kvo malchutcha yomeru, v'rcha yidaberu. V'ladiyah livnei adam v'rotav, v'hodadam malchuto. Still, it's interesting. We said like 5 sukkim about how great God is. Great God is great. How is he great? Two psukim. God is great. God is great. Malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'memshan b'chol dor v'dor. Now it's someich Hashem l'kol hanoflim. You skip the nun, and now you are someich Hashem l'kol hanoflim. You notice how out of place that is? Right? It's about God, but now we have somebody else in the picture. Right? We never, who are these noflim? What are they doing here? You understand what I'm saying? Right? So the Chazal, they weren't just throwing it out there that there's a nefilah. They were reading the Perek and saying, whoa, this doesn't belong here. Right? Because where else is there somebody else in here? Okay? Where are these, who are these people? Okay? Next one. Enei kol elecha, kol elecha yisabeiru, v'atam otem lahem etachlam bito. Now we're talking about other people. Potech et yadecha, u'masbia l'chol chai ratzon. Those people are there. But it only happened after what? After we skip. After the nun is missed. So come along Chazal and say, why is the nun not there? The nun refers to who? Refers to us. We're the people that have fallen. And we count on God in order to pick us up again. So why does it skip the nun? Because we don't want to refer to ourselves as having fallen. Rather, we only want to allude. We'll see. We'll see in the Parshani. But this is what the Gemara is saying. It's saying, Mipnei she'esh ba ma'palatam shel sonei Yisrael. Because it alludes to some kind of degradation and some kind of downfall of the Jewish people. And because there's that allusion, therefore, David HaMelech didn't want to say it. He knew what he meant. He knew you know what he meant. You know what I'm saying? Does that make you better? Does that make it sound better? You know what I'm saying? It's really deep. It's not just stam that, because it's nefilah. You can pick a lot of, is that the only nun that you couldn't skip? Of course you could pick other things. But he intentionally skipped it because he didn't want to say what he wanted to say. And then he alludes to it later on in the rest of it, you know what I'm saying? Sadiq Hashem echod rechab, karov achim lechol karov, v'chol Hashem yu'meh, v'tzani v'yav ya'aseh, shamei Hashem et kol ohavav. We're now, by the way, you notice that we're rising up every time. First we're noflim. We're looking up to God. Potech et yadecha must be l'chol chai ratzon. L'chol chai ratzon. Everyone who's alive. Okay? Tzadik Hashem. And then Tzadik Hashem l'chol korav. Now we're no longer looking up to God. What are we doing? We're calling out to Him. L'chol ashin kuru be'emet. Ritzon yirei av. Then what are we? We're fearing God. Shomer Hashem et kol ohavav. Then we love God. Then tilat Hashem yidar berpi. Yirakov asar. That is a beautiful, powerful progression that sadly each one of us sitting here has missed, having said Hashem many times in the day for the past 30 years. Va'anachnu nevarech ya. Right. Beautiful. Incredibly powerful. Again, it starts with that nun. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Remember, he says, Afilu hachi, nonetheless, Chazar David usmacha b'ruach hakodesh. He connected in the ruach hakodesh, Shneimar, as it says, Somech Hashem l'kol v'nuflim. Right, God is somech. He is reliable for all those who fall. Yes, right.
It could have said something else, though.
He didn't want to say something else. That's the point.
I know, but we're going on this whole, it wouldn't have been unnatural to add in between those two
some other nun,
something different.
Some other nun. No, but he wanted to say, that's exactly the point. He wanted to say,
nun is you.
Nun is nefila. Okay? Nafla lo tosif kum. It's the Jew, we have fallen. Okay? God is great, God is awesome, God is amazing, and we're not so good. And it's our job to praise God and to build ourselves up back again to the point where we can appreciate the greatness of God's love. I got to tell you, I never noticed before. Sadly, because I never really learned it. Right? Maybe I did once, you know what I'm saying? Eine kol elecha yisabeiru, right? We look up, first our eyes are there. Mas poteach et yadecha, you give us what we need. Okay? And God is tzadik Hashem b'chol drachav. And then, karov Hashem l'kol korav. That progression of Kol Korav, and then Yireav, and then Ohavav, that's unbelievable. Right? You call to God, you fear God, you love God. Okay, if
right,
what?
Right.
What? Right? If what? If we are calling out to God, if we're saying this Ashrei.
Is the implication that you need to follow first before you get there?
What was it?
Say it again.
Is the implication that you need to fall before you can get there?
I don't think that's the indication. I think the indication is that everyone falls.
Okay.
I think that's the indication, which is our Elul reference.
Is that the indication? The indication.
We all flip. We all fall.
But according to one opinion, we're not going to fall again.
Right? Because we said it twice.
So maybe.
You mean the Rav Hashanu in the West?
This is the 0 point. We're at the 0 point, and now everything is up. So I'm not going to include it because I'm not going to fall again.
I think it's just the way I read the Agadah. The Gemara, as it loves to do, is throwing in that line as a shtach to the. You know what I'm saying? It's not relevant to the discussion. I would put it in parentheses because if they read the pasuk another way in their vision of redemption. The pasuk in Amos is about redemption. Nafla lo tosif kum la Yisrael. It's about the destruction of the Jewish people in Eretz Israel. The terrible. Look what happened to the Jewish people. But in the context of Ashrei, it's talking about personal falling. It's talking about spiritual falling. It's talking about, you know, about destruction, about degradation. So the Gemara just throws in Bima Arava. You understand what I'm saying? But in the discussion of Nun, it's about Nefila, and then Amar Rav Nachman, Afilu Hachi Chazar Av Yisam Chashnem, Arsome Chashem L'Kol Menufni. That's relevant to our discussion. Okay? You following? I have bad news for you. After this fascinating discussion, we're not going to get to the, what time is it? There's no way we're going to get to the Ma'aral.
7 minutes.
In 7 minutes, the Ma'aral starts on page 33 and goes. Right. So I have to tell you how I got my hands on the Maharal. Okay? This is I blogged about it, but I have to tell you. So I knew, like, Kevin is into Maharal, and Maharal is a very important commentary in Agadah. Very important. The only problem is, the Maharal never wrote a pirush on, that we're aware of, on Gemara. Rather, he wrote on Shabbos?
Oh, yeah.
Really? There is no Gemara.
Well, I can't remember if it's not Shabbos.
But the Maharal does, so I wrote when I was starting to give the shiur. I sent out on this rabbi email list that I'm on this RCA list, looking for help, because people made different suggestions, in Yaakov, and there's the Ben Yehoyada, which we're going to see, the Ben Yishchai we've seen before, and we're going to see Ein Ayah, Rav Kook, which is great, but what about Maharal? Somebody said, don't give up on Maharal, because Maharal, the themes of the Maharal, they appear over and over and over again. The Maharal repeats himself on different, you know, he had these themes that he refers to over and over again. So he says, if you look hard enough, if you look for an index of the Maharal, you'll find somebody will say, oh, he references this Gemara. Terrific. Great. But it's hard to, like, search all the different indexes to get exactly which Maharal you're looking for. So there's this Rav, his name is Rav Moshe Tsuriel. Rav Tsuriel is a tremendous Gaon. He lives in Bnei Brak today. He actually gives a shiur in Torah Chaim. And he was the Mashkiach when I was learning in Shalavim, way back in the day. He was the Mashkiach, and he speaks English, so he would give shiur to the Americans, because he's an Ole. It's really, I wrote this story in a blog post. It's really worthwhile to read his life story. He's unbelievable. Grew up in Baltimore, came in the 50s, learned in Merkaz HaRav, like crazy stuff. Anyway, so he is an Ilui, brilliant, doesn't forget anything. He just sits and writes books all day. He knows Maharal by heart. He knows Rav Kook by heart. He knows everything by heart. Anyway, so I knew, I was thinking, you know, I know that he wrote an index to the Maharal. Like, just from memory, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, like, let's start Breishit. Okay, what does Maharal say Breishit? He wrote it in his, I knew that. So it just so happens that we send our daughter, Moria, to a woman named Tehila, who lives in Beit Chilkiah. Right? So one day, Rina's talking to me, she says, you know Tehila? Do you know her father was also in Olam? I'm like, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. His name is Rav Tsuriel. I said, no way. Like, I send my daughter to her babysitter is Rav Tsuriel's daughter. Unbelievable. Great. It's like, Yuchas, I went crazy. Whoa. Right. It's really cool. So this week, was it this week? No, last week, late last week, I go to drop off Maria. It just happened to be my turn. I'm going to drop him. What? He was not there. It gets better. I go to drop Maria. I say, oh, I need to talk to your father because I need this book, Otsrod HaMaharal. She pulls out her cell phone. She says, talk to him yourself. She calls him up, right? He says, hello. He starts talking to me. He says, what do you do? Where are you from? How's everything? Like, he's like, just, so I told him what I do. I said, I do recruiting for an Israeli college. He says, everything you do, you're fortunate because not only do you live in Eretz Yisrael, but even your job is a mitzvah. He says, because you encourage girls to get a college education and you encourage them to become more finer developed people. When a person has an academic degree, they think better, they're more clear. Kol hakavod to you. I guess I just threw that out there. Very nice. Anyway, so he says, what can I do for you? I said, I'm teaching this shiur in Agadah. I'm looking for Otsrod HaMaharal. He says, oh, that's not what you need. I wrote a 4-volume set going through all of Agadah of 120 different books, right? And he's, I don't know if I brought the sheet. I just photocopied one of the pages. He says, no, I didn't bring the sheet. He says, if you go through 4 volumes, I wrote a 4-volume set, and every Gemara, I'll tell you where this appears. So, like, the problem is it's dangerous, because you can get bogged down. We're not going to get bogged down. But, so, yeah. He says, that's 150 shekel. Tell you why. He says, I'm coming to Yabin Yamin today. He says, so come meet me, I'll bring you the sefer. That's what he did. Wow. So he said, well, what about the Maharal? He says, I was just in a Sfarim store in Bnei Brak. He says, and I saw somebody put together this book, Maharal on Brachos, according to the order of the Gemara. Okay, he's like, great. He says, oh, but I'm not going back there today. He says, I'll tell you what I'll do. When you come to drop by to pick up the Sfarim, you give me 40 more shekel. When I come back to Bnei Brak, me and my driver will stop off in this Sfarim store. I'll buy you the Sefer and I'll bring it back to you. He's like, v'kachava. That's what he did. So when I went to go pick up the sefer, I decided.
So I was going to give shit tonight.
Tsuriel,
there he is.
It would be a tremendous chutz to have Rav Tsuriel give shir on this Gemara. Anyway, so and I went to see him. We were schwitzing for a bit, and he said, "Listen," he said, "I want you to know, you are a rabbi in America." He said, "And I know you. When you came here, you think you're nothing. There, you were a big deal. You were a big shot. And here, you're nothing." He said, "Don't believe it for a minute." He said, "You're worth 10,000 times what you were over there." You should never regret that you made Aliyah. That's what he said. Can't argue. Plus, something even more interesting, I noticed, who put out this book? This is the funniest thing. This book was put out by Rabbi Lopiansky. Rabbi Lopiansky, he's the Rosh Yeshiva, he lived in Learning Yerushalayim in the Mir for years. 1106 North Belgrade Road, Silver Spring, Maryland. Right? He's the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva that I went to for high school. Yeshiva of Greater Washington. So it's all full circle. It's like, really, like, it's crazy. Wow. As they put out this book.
What day was this last week?
This is last week. This is last Wednesday. You know, so it's a wild story. It's in Rav Tsuriel's zchut that we're going to learn the Maharal next week, Kev. So maybe you could call in. Can you Skype? Can we Skype you in? What time is it in?
Sunday.
Are you in Sunday? It's in America. Are you going to be? 9 o'clock, 2 p.m. What are you doing other than watching football on 2 p.m. on a Sunday? No, 1 p.m.
1 p.m.
on a Sunday. Maharal, we were.
I can call you for free.
We will do the Maharal. We have three parshanim, three vastly different perushim on this Gemara, all three valuable about the value of Ashrei. So today we looked at Ashrei. We saw that the Gemara didn't just say things. The Gemara was very much attuned to the nuance of the psukim themselves. But we still left with the question, what's so important about this, about Ashrei? And the Maharal and Rab Ibn Habib, the Ein Yaakov, and Rav Kook are going to say, obviously, they're going to say similar ideas, but in very different perspectives on the nature of what the importance of Ashrei is.
That's correct.
Okay, we'll stop here.